focusing on. Should learn how to run it one day.
It's complex, Tom.
Still something. All right. Morning. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Some of what we'll talk about this morning we've been talking about lately, so. Sometimes we say they're familiar scriptures, and I thought, well, is that good or bad? It is good. Thank you, Brother Ted. It comes from familial. They're part of the family. So let's talk about some stuff that's part of the family. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Okay. I was thinking this morning, just where do we get our information? No. Who told you that? Who said that about you? There's an accuser of the brethren that accuses day and night. Never wears out, never gets tired. Never runs out of bad things to say about you. Never gets sick of defaming your character. Mark was reading yesterday about out of Hebrews 11. I don't need to turn to it, but some of these characters, if you look at certain times during their life, you would think they don't belong in there. And I know I have days when I think I don't belong here. You look at some of these characters. Noah. Think of all the obedience, years of obedience that Noah fulfilled. You know what the accuser, excuse me. Let's be thinking about Aaron Seeger or something. The accuser says, we know who that guy is. That's that old drunk that was naked in his tent. We know who he is. That's not how God looks at him. Because he didn't stay an old drunk in his tent, naked. Don't count yourself out while God's still working with you. Abraham, man, he was a mess. The father of faith. The father of faith part, I think, is he kept going. Even on days when it didn't look that good. Even that 25 years from the promise till he got the son that he said he was going to give it. We live, you know, 365 days a year, and we get to look at ourselves and at each other and a lot of stuff that goes on. And doesn't seem exactly fair they'll take and put like a verse or half a verse, or in the case of Moses, 7 verses. I don't know how he rated, but he got 7 verses in there. Still just a snapshot of what God was doing. God had a big purpose. He had little people trying to fulfill a big purpose. And God still does that today. Gabe opened up. God's going to do what he's going to do. God is going to finish this thing. And the question remains if you or I are going to be a part of it, not whether it's going to happen or not. For many years, I have not questioned that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do. What I've questioned is he going to do it with me and you? And that's really where it comes down to, and that's really the only part that we have very much to say about. Even Brother Buddy can't change the plan of God. He can teach about it. I think he had a lot of it right. Maybe he had all of it right. But the question remains, are we going to be a part of that? You know, and you could go through this whole thing of Hebrews and pick all these people apart. And then on the other hand, there's some other ones that we probably would have put in there. That list is not intended to be exhausted by any means. Talking about all those that did this and all those, and we're probably part of all those. If your name's not there, there's no Thomas there, I noticed that, but anyway. But I could be part of all those. Abel talked about those that were looking for a better country. You know, is that really what we're looking for? Are we pretty happy with this country? I'm not that happy with this country. And we'll look at it a little later. I'm not that happy with the world. I'm gaining a dislike. I won't say hate yet, but certainly an intense dislike for the world and what it stands for and what it does to people. Deuteronomy 8. We may read a little more scripture this morning than usual, but start in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. That's a good step one. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee for these 40 years in the wilderness. Somebody read this the other day. I always forget who's who, but doesn't matter, it's all God's word. Nobody has a copyright on it. Yeah. And thou shalt remember all the way. And let's not just think of those poor dumb Jews back there. Can we think about you and me and how we live and where we live and how we talk to each other and what we think about all day long? Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep its commandments or no. And he humbled thee. Has he humbled us? Does he continue to humble us? Yes. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know. This is what I was really thinking about here. That he might make us to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And we've got to come to that. It's not your idea or my idea. You know, I think it's interesting. I've been one of the ones that says at times, you know, do we ever say no? Is there any... this stuff ever get addressed? It seems like, you know, the lunatics are running the asylum on certain days. But God doesn't miss any of it. Just because the law and order isn't coming down like it used to in some areas, that doesn't mean God's changed his standard at all, which he hasn't. He never changes. His word never changes. His standard never changes. His righteous requirements never change. Even though the structure, the scaffolding, however you want to put it, seems to change, come and go, God hasn't changed. And His Word hasn't changed. It's interesting, however many years ago these people were in Deuteronomy, God's Word is just as alive and living and active and quick and instructive this morning as it was back then when Moses was talking. To know thee, what was in thy heart, whether thou would keep his commandments to know, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God, thy God, chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. And this is where we forget sometimes. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware lest thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So one thing God's people have suffered from historically is a bad memory of all that God's done. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee. God's got a purpose in everything that he's bringing us through. That he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good in the latter end. Somebody read Jeremiah 29. God has a latter end. You know, sometimes it seems like certain things are just going to go on forever. I was thinking about that, the service master rotation. It seemed like I just had pretty much thought I'd be scrubbing and waxing floors for the rest of my life. And then suddenly, it was a transition, but doing other stuff. Some of the things that we feel like seem like they're just going to go on forever, they're not going to go on forever. So it's really, really, really important that we get out of them what God's trying to teach us through the process, even while he's humbling us. Brother Bill made a comment one time. He said, well, you know, it's our guys are up there, you know, doing dirty work, and that's humbling. And I said, no, not at all. I said, if anybody questions me about why I'm doing this, I said, I don't have to do this. I know how to raise pigs. I just like doing it. That's when we still had the pig business. To to do us good in the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. I don't think it's because we're such a talented bunch of individuals, although many are. That's not why it's working. And God makes sure that he does humble us and test us. I remember when Ron cut a beam too short there at the trading post, building that building. And I thought, that's great. It's great that Ron did it. Anybody else, we'd feel terrible about them doing it. The master carpenter, if you say, lined everybody up, said, pick out the best carpenter, everybody say that it's Ron. Even Ron got humbled. He cut the big beam too short. So nobody gets away with anything. Nobody goes without being humbled. And it's a different thing for each one of us. Something that would humble you just as water off a duck's back to somebody else. It just doesn't matter. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And a lot of people quote that, the first part of that scripture, is the Lord giveth thee the power to get wealth, but they forget why he gave us power to get wealth, which is that he may establish his covenant. God is wanting to establish a covenant. It's really about what God's doing here, and we don't want to lose sight of that. It's not about what you are doing and I am doing, that we could have a bigger family fund and more comforts, and now we have 24-hour day electricity and the buildings are warm. You don't have to wear your bunny boots to breakfast like we used to do at the shop if you sat back there by the coat area. A lot of things in the natural have improved, but God is not improving this just that we could be more comfortable doing our own thing and seeking our own good, but that he may establish his covenant. And God will not withhold anything to get done what he wants to get done. That's a comforting thing as well. If we'll ask him, what do you think about this? I think he'll tell us if we're sincere. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, not only don't forget him, don't at all forget him, the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And it is so important. It's important that we hear, and then it's important that we be obedient to what we know that God has spoken to us. If you turn over to Luke chapter 4. Nothing new, nothing complicated this morning. But it could seriously affect your life. There's one person that's certainly paid attention to the scriptures. That was Jesus. And it's important for us, I think, to pay attention to the scriptures. Even children, young people, old people. I've often said, how does a young man keep his way pure the same way an old man keeps his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Brother Buddy was fond of saying, unless God tells us, we don't know. So it's really important to find out how God thinks about this. And Jesus had some answers for some questions. Chapter 4, verse 1, Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That word led there is an interesting word. If you look it up, it kind of means driven, compelled. It's not like, oh, I think I'll take a walk over there. It was, he was compelled to go. And we're compelled to go sometimes places we would rather not go. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The test always comes when you're hungry, not just for food, but for something. You have an appetite for something. Somebody said we can get in trouble when desire and opportunity come together at the same time. I've had desires before, and we need to be careful too, because we can judge people and how they fared in a test that you may not even be ready to take. A trial that you may not even be ready to be tried in. And you can judge somebody else by how they bore up in that, which is silly, because it says don't judge another man's servant. Okay. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That was a good time to remember that scripture. And we have things that come up every day, and it's very important at the proper time to have a right answer. And not just something that you made up. And the devil, taking him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. I don't know what that looked like. But I know it must have been a temptation, or they wouldn't have called it a temptation. We're not tempted. I'm not tempted by cilantro. I don't break into the cooler at night and go steal some cilantro. I never have. I've even been known to say it's not food, although some people are convinced that it is.
You don't have food taste by it.
Yeah, a little word from the Mexican section. Okay. We're tempted by that which would appeal to us, that which we would find desirable, something that we would long after, something that did you ever think, boy, if I just had that, then I'd be happy. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. So the devil's even quoting some scripture here. Everybody's got a scripture of the day here. Yeah. And the worst spirits are the religious spirits, because they'll give you something that looks like the right answer, just to try to get you out of the way. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering them said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And that for a season there is interesting. It means until an opportune time. You can bear up today and have the right answer for every question that's posed to you, every temptation, and the devil may depart for a season, but mind you this, he'll be back, looking for an opportune time. You know, he'll even leave a little card, a little calling card. Say, I know you're not interested in this today. Got it. Understand that. You're in the fear of God and you're not going to do anything like that, but I'll just leave this card here, and if anything comes up, you know, maybe that desire comes back or something like that, give me a call. Yeah. Did the devil leave Jesus alone for the rest of his life? No, not at all. Is he going to leave you alone for the rest of your life? Not at all. And the test and the temptation may come in different forms, but be assured that it will come. And be assured that you'll need an answer that day also. In 1 John 2, chapter 2, First John. First John 2 and verse 15. In regards to loving the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, see, all these temptations fall into three main categories: lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Just about anything that comes down the road to get us off course, you could probably file it in one of those three drawers. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, I thought it says another place, a threefold cord's not easily broken. A good threefold cord is not easily broken, and I think a bad threefold cord is not easily broken either. Because you get the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and then you put that third rope in there, the pride of life. And the pride will keep us in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, because we'll hold to something sometimes, even to our own hurt. It's interesting. Braid three things together, you pull them, the harder you pull, the tighter that rope becomes, and the stronger it becomes. In verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we should be in this for the forever. Okay? No matter what passes away. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Let's start in verse 11, 2 Chronicles 7:11. Be a good name for a store, wouldn't it? Yeah. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the Lord's and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Remember how Solomon started out? He said, I don't know how to go out and how to come in. I don't know any of this stuff. And that's a real good approach to have with God. Unless you tell me, I won't know. One of the prophets was asked by God, what's this? And he said, if you tell me, then we'll both know. Something to that effect. Either thou knowest, Lord, thank you. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land And Joshua was mentioning the other day, and I think it could escape our notice if we're not careful. He says, if I shut up heaven, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. It's one thing to have an answer for the devil when he tempts you. It's another thing when God starts doing stuff. Because he's not going to quit. He's not going to relent till he gets what he wants. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that humbling ourselves seems to come up both in the Bible and in our daily experience, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. This place is not just Solomon's temple. It's the place wherever God addresses us and we humble ourselves and want to do what he says. And we'll finish up in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4:23. Moses is talking to the people. There he said that he must die in this land and not go over Jordan, but you shall go over. Verse 23 says, take heed to yourselves, unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. There it is again. Don't forget. I've got a little sticker on my laptop that says, don't forget. And then I think, what was it I was supposed to forget? Yeah. They even had a country song now. Years ago, I forgot to remember to forget. I'm not endorsing country music by any means. Yeah. Some people get the message just by accident, I think. So one guy was doing a parody of country music, and he said he was going to write a song. I've been so miserable since you left, it's almost like you're still here. They all seem to fall into that general vein of things. And I'll tell you, there must be a market for it. There wouldn't be so many people doing it, driving big cars and fancy houses. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. And that's always the thing that we're tempted with, is whatever God forbids. Somebody pointed out that it was interesting, out of that whole garden, they liked spending time right around that little area there where that tree was that they weren't supposed to touch. You know, even about order, I like Brother Fred Vanderhoof's description of order. He was teaching one time, and he had a chalkboard, and he said, the order is like this big perimeter all the way around here. He said, if you're walking by the Spirit, you'll never see it. You'll never run into it. And I think that's true. A lot of the things that we could spend a lot of time arguing about are not a problem at all for people that are walking by the Spirit. Never run into it. If you're constantly running into the order, that could be, it won't change you, but it can show you that you got a problem. And that's really about all the law could do. Show that there was a problem. It didn't do much to fix it, but it can show that there is a problem. Where were we? Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God, when thou shalt beget children and children's children. Somebody was mentioning about the generations. I lose track after a while. The first body baby I remember was Gabe. And I was somehow at Brian Colbert's, or with Brian Colbert, and he said, let's go over, we're going to go over and see Gabe. We're going to go over and have some baby worship. I think you were about the only baby around, if I remember right, at the time. And yeah, anyway, so that was nice. When there shall be got children and children's children, you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, or unto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly be destroyed. God's serious about some of this stuff. You think things are strict now, it'd be interesting to live back then. You could be put to death for doing a little carpentry job on the Sabbath. With a rat-a-tat-tat and a little saw, and they would go over and put you to death. Probably not a lot of guys working on Saturdays back then. Anyway, that was all a type and a shadow, but it does show that God's serious about what he's talking about. It said all these things were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages comes. So he's probably even more serious about it now. Back then, you could get your head lopped off or something, and now you could lose your soul. So, not just your body. Verse 27, the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And even if you're in that much darkness and mess, God can still lead you. Because if he couldn't, you'd have no hope of ever getting out. When we're in bondage, when we're in darkness, when we're scattered among the heathen, we have absolutely no hope of ever getting out without the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to, none of that. Verse 28, and there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And verse 29 is what I really wanted to end up with today. No matter what kind of a mess, or if you're having a good day, that's fine too. No matter where you find yourself, I'll leave you with verse 29 this morning. But if from thence, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad everybody else says it is, if from thence, right there, from that place, you know, I've gotten mocked sometimes where I like to sing that song, Just As I Am, without one plea that they used to sing at the Billy Graham Crusades. Well, if it's not Just As I Am, without one plea, how is it? How else are you going to come to God? How you hope to be? How you wish you were? How you used to be? No, none of that works. But how you are today. If from thence, wherever the thence is, plug in your own thence, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And that's what it has to be. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And wherever your thence is this morning, that's where we got to cry out to him from thence. Amen.
I want to add this confirmation. I woke up this morning with a song on my brain, Ancient Words, Ever True, Changing Me and Changing You. It's a song that Robin Mark popularized, but it's an old hymn. And it's a really good one if you want to go look it up. But anyway, the burden I think of the Holy Spirit today is in fact the Word, and how it does change us and change you. If you'll seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul, you only do that when you come into contact with a living Word. And I want, this is the main reason I got up. I want to make a distinction between the living Word. Oh, I hope that recorded, actually.
Oh, we had this one.
Yeah, okay. The living Word and the Logos Word. We've heard it before, but we need to remember it. Because the letter of the Word kills. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And this living Word, which we heard today, this was a living Word, made alive by the Spirit of God, is the thing which changes you and changes me. It isn't this. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, back in Luke 4, where Tom was reading, he stopped in verse 13, but if you read verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. You know, and that's what the devil does. The devil went out and advertised Jesus. This guy, look at him. He did all the right things. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, until this time, in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, I think all the people sitting in that synagogue didn't have any trouble with him reading that place. Okay? And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Wait a minute. Isn't this Joseph's son?" And, you know, the next test was on for Jesus. Which is why I'm bringing this up. Because every time you bump into the living Word, immediately the next test is on. Because what he read there in Isaiah wasn't the letter of the Word. It was the real deal. Preached by the Spirit of God. And when that comes for any of us, whether you actually get up and declare it like this or have it be experienced at home in your bedroom, or in the middle of the workplace on any given day, wherever that experience happens, where the Spirit of the Lord quickens something and makes it alive to you, and you know God told you something, the test is immediately on. And that's when we need to seek Him. I was really blessed by this today, and just wanted to add that confirmation.
It was good this morning. I was reading out of 1 John where Tom was. I was there last night and this morning. And it's a great, you can really feel the heart of John coming through there, of just wanting people to make it, just the heart of the Father coming through of love. You know, I'm writing to you to encourage you to let you know there's something beyond what you see and beyond the world that's worth going for and worth hanging on to. And just a scripture that goes along with this that I was looking at the other day. This is in Romans 5. You know, it's talking about the word, and every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God that's what we live on. And that scripture was way back in Deuteronomy, and it came up again when Jesus was tempted. It says, you know, I don't live by that stuff. What I live by is the word that comes from God, and the word that I make part of myself and do something with. And I think a lot of Christendom, you kind of think that you've been saved when you accept Jesus as your Savior. But the scripture caught my eye the other day. This is in Romans 5, verse 10. It says, if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And it's not enough to just come to Him one time. When we're saved, when we're born again, we're reconciled and the way is open for us to be saved. Right. But we're really saved by every word, if we're living by every word that comes along. And that's an ongoing, daily thing. That's how we're saved, is when every day we're looking to Him for what's the word? What do you have for me today? And when we get a hold of that and make it part of our daily life, that's when we're saved. It's not just a matter, we can't just come to Him and, you know, say sorry for our sins, because it says in 1 John there as well, it says, hereby I know that you know Him if you keep His commandments. And if you keep His commandments, you're not breaking them. You're keeping them. And that's when we know Him. That's when we know Him. When God, what's the word today? How are you going to keep me on the path today and show me the way to go? It's when I'm living by that word that comes every day, and I'm making it part of myself. And that's when I'm going to keep His commandments and know Him. So that's it's good for us this morning. Have anything else? It's good to see Michael Austin here this morning. Yes. School going all right? All right. Beautiful day up. Say again? Kellers are coming home today. Looks like they had a nice visit down there. It's a beautiful day out there. Was there an EMT class or something going on right now? That's good.
My parents are also traveling today.
Be home tonight or today, tomorrow. Okay, bless the Doofendocks on the way home. Still, guys out there hunting. It's a beautiful day for that. Convention in Montana.
The memorial service of Richard Booth is Monday.
Okay.
Also, the direct answer to prayer. If those of you who saw. Tim Dixon had a good night.
Great.
And
so did his wife. She slept too, but I'm so appreciative of prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We do thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. thank you for your many blessings to us, Lord, and cause our eyes to be open to see you're moving in our in the land of the living today, Lord. We ask that you would make the word alive to us, Lord, and wherever we go today, God, that our ears would be open to be directed by you and to live in your life, Lord. Amen.